From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's May the 2nd, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, just one item for the day. It's done, or at least it looks like it's done. It sure seems to be done. The Farm Bill is moving through Capitol Hill. We'll take a complete look at that story in a few moments. And then a bit later in the program, agronomist from the University of Illinois, Emerson Nafsicker, will bring us a little advice on planting corn in wet soils. It all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
News from NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat today at $7.96, 19.5 cents higher. July futures at $8.09, up 19 cents, and December at $8.43, up 20 for the day. May corn futures at $6.02, down 3.5 cents. July 3.75 lower at $6.13.5. And the September at $6.23.25, down 3.5 cents. December futures $6.29.5, 2 cents lower on the afternoon. May soybean futures $12.92.5, up 33.75 for the afternoon. July futures on a Friday at $13.04.5, up 33.5. And the August contract in the bean pit at $12.92, up 32. November futures $12.18.5, up 25.25 for the day. May bean meal at $3.31.80, up $8.40. The May oil at $56.67 for the bean oil, 91 cents higher. June live cattle futures $92.12.5, 67.5 higher. The August futures at $98.25, up 75 cents. May feeder cattle at $105.65, 70 higher. And the August futures at $108.15. 87.5 cents higher. Lean hog futures traded the May contract to $73.40 today at the end of the trade, 85 cents higher. June at $71.95, up 85 as well. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Outside markets for the afternoon look like this. June crude oil futures at $116.10 a barrel, $3.58 higher for the day. July futures at $115.05. up $3.25. The CRB index at 407.59, 749 higher for the day, and the U.S. dollar now trading at 73.47. That's 0.22 higher for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,020 is just about 11 points higher on the afternoon. Nearby May gold futures, $856.10 an ounce, up $7.20, and the June at $858 even, up $7.10 for the day. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region. A tornado watch is in effect for southern Illinois and far southwestern Indiana. That until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Tonight, our own Mike Sola says skies will be mostly cloudy in Illinois. Some scattered showers, they'll diminish in coverage during the afternoon. In Indiana, this is tomorrow, and thunderstorms likely early, and then showers likely, and perhaps a few thunderstorms during the afternoon tomorrow. Highs will range from 52 in the northwestern part of Illinois to 72 in southern Indiana. Now tonight, cloudy, rain, and thunderstorms. Strong to severe storms are possible during the evening hours. Lows will range from 45 in northwestern Illinois to near 60 in southeastern Indiana. Again, we'll start tomorrow mostly cloudy in Illinois. Scattered showers will diminish in coverage throughout the afternoon. Extended forecasts say the temps will return to near average for much of next week. That allows some field work to continue in areas not excessively wet. The next widespread rain will occur around the middle of next week. The latest run of the American Forecast Model brings significant rainfall to western Illinois by Tuesday, with dry weather returning by Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Interesting week in Chicago. How do you sum it up?
Oh, I think probably the market was trying to keep the corn acres bid. The futures market was really working hard to keep the corn planters rolling because they knew the weather was not cooperating. And maybe at the end of this week, they felt like, well, with some of the new payroll data and some of the new economic data, maybe the energy markets were a little bit overdone, and maybe we're going to be able to get Illinois farmers to continue to plan, and maybe Iowa, if the precip totals this weekend aren't too high, maybe Iowa's going to be able to actually start proper next week. And so that's kind of how we saw it for the whole wrap-up.
And when you say they were looking to keep corn acres rolling across the Midwest, did they do that mostly by pulling down the price of soybeans?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, and pulling down the price of wheat along with it for other reasons. But it certainly looked like to us until today that the corn market had something in it that the others didn't. And when we talked to Chicago and looked at some of the spread trading that was going on up until today, it really did revolve a lot back to the corn and the uncertainty of the weather. And, you know, last year on Monday, like the 6th of May, Illinois would have been, last year at this time, was 72% planted and Iowa was 53% planted. So coming up on Monday's report, the best number I heard on corn planting from Chicago or on the news wires was around 30%. That was the top-end number. So we're looking at maybe 40% behind in terms of where we were last year in Illinois, and maybe 20-25% behind versus last year in Iowa. And certainly the Iowa clients we talked to this week confirmed the trade fears that not many wheels have turned at all.
And
Todd.
You're right. You choked me up. Are they the farthest behind?
Yeah, I think so. I think they and the southern Minnesota people are now. I say that because we've already kind of given up on Missouri being able to really get much corn planted. They turn hot and dry very quickly. They're kind of like Tennessee in respect to how their temperature and their weather pattern goes. So we're of the assumption now that the Missouri guys are wet enough. They're probably going to try and get a lot more beans or milo or something like that, a more drought-tolerant crop planted in that state. So if you take Missouri out of the mix, and maybe we're being a little bit premature, but I don't know, based upon the precip maps, I don't think we are. But if you take them out of the mix, then Iowa and southern Minnesota are probably the most behind.
All right, so once you've done that, if you take Missouri out of the mix and you start calculating backwards just how many acres maybe we have lost, and I suppose you don't want to do that from the end of March, but maybe the end of, maybe you do want to do it from the end of March on the idea that more acres were added. After the March 1 intentions report was collected, where do you stand now on number of corn acres totally nationwide?
Well, we're still sitting right around 87. What we did this week was, after listening to the head of the World Agricultural Outlook Board during the CFTC meeting last week say, before the weather really became an issue, he said, without saying it, you know, if I paraphrase, he said, if you ask the USDA economists around independently right now, they probably think the corn acres were low on the survey report on March 31st. So if I take that and try and plug that into the analysis, what we did was we took our acres up just a hair in corn, but we dropped the yield significantly. We went from a 157 yield all the way down to a 150.7, which takes us almost, I think it's around 1.6 or 1.8 bushels below what we actually did last year. So we're going the yield route with the idea of what we talked about on Commodity Week a couple weeks ago with Drew Lerner, that we can oftentimes turn from cold and wet to hot and dry. And so we're going with lower yield instead of lower acres. Obviously, everything's on the table because of next week's crop report. Friday gives us the brand new 08 numbers. They finally put together the acreage numbers and the supply and demand numbers. And so you've got acres, yield, ethanol, feed, everything for 08-09 is on the table right now.
Well, when you talk about the numbers you put together, you were above trend yield in your previous numbers, and now you're below trend yield.
That's exactly right. We're running about a bushel and a half below trend line yields now because of what we've seen in the Western Corn Belt. The people in Ohio that we've talked to this week, they're wrapping up corn. A lot of people in eastern Indiana are going to be wrapping up corn if they don't get rained out here today or tomorrow. Illinois guys, as of this afternoon, like north of Champaign and towards Watseka, they were still running. The rain hadn't stopped them. So I suspect that we're going to get most of the acres planted, and we have heard the eastern belt guys say that they're converting what they thought would be bean acres into corn acres. So we'll probably pick up extra corn acres in the eastern belt that we do lose over in the western belt. But again, Iowa guys reinforced to us, even as late as this week, they've reinforced to us, I don't really want to plant beans. I really want to keep that corn planter rolling as long as I can. So that suggests to us that we've got until about May 20th to get caught up here, especially given the Roundup genetics and the triple stack hybrids maybe giving us a little bit more time to not lose that bushel and a half a day after May 15th.
If what you say is true, it seems to me then that the soy complex could be fairly explosive through the summer months.
I don't think that's hard to say at all. I think that's something you write down and you say to yourself the whole year long between the tight stocks and the technicals, and like today, we were watching for commercial buying. Was that what drove this market higher? We got on the horn and talked to the people in Chicago, and they said, no, what we saw was money, fund allocation back into beans and back into crude. The volume was fairly good early, and then it kind of tapered off later. But from what they saw, very little end-user or commercial buying here. And that would kind of make sense because we haven't seen a lot of export news in beans here this week, and our basis levels haven't jumped at the Gulf. So I do participate in the idea that wasn't much commercial buying going on here today. It's probably more money and fund allocations. So when you try and put that together with the tight old crop supply and demand, and then the new crop supply and demand, it is going to be a wicked bean market this year.
Wicked bean market, would you be the beans? Well, let me ask it this way. If the bean market gets wicked, will the corn market go with it?
It will try. I think they will try and go together, but I think next week will be one of the key weeks to watch to answer that question, Todd, because we did see last year they kind of divorced themselves around the planting time period. We've seen that again this year, but they tended to come together after planting last year, and I suspect they're going to try and come together this year again and trade together, especially given that the wheat has sold off almost 40%. The beans are down, you know, a couple dollars to $2.50 now. Nice corrections in the beans and the wheat, so I would think that if the corn goes on higher, it's going to have to be helped out by the beans and the wheat because they clearly have seemed to have drugged the corn down and not allowed it to make that new contract high during the day trade session, and that's been one of the biggest features about this week to keep watching for next week is that 632 has been extremely elusive during the day trade. It's been happening overnight that we take it out on a closing basis.
Yeah, we've gone up to 638 on a high on the composite trade overnight, so we have a new contract high. I guess I asked the last question on the idea that livestock producers will be rooting for corn prices to go down at some time. What do they do now?
Well, I think the state governments are already going to answer that question. I believe the lobby is strong enough in the states. You've seen it in Texas. You're starting to see it in Missouri. Here's a state that just this year in January approved a 10% blend of ethanol. Now they're starting to go back and say, maybe we don't want that. Let's revisit that and see if we don't want that. I suspect the livestock industries are going after their state governments and that maybe between now and the election, the federal government doesn't do much as far as subsidy, farm bill stuff, or really tackling the issue that the livestock producers have. But I suspect the state guys will be trying to tackle that all year long. So that's where it goes back to the feed and ethanol demand. I suspect USDA's got some ideas of what they're going to put in the numbers on Friday.
Mike, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Don't choke me up too much. Mike Zuzulo with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Good thing we got a mute button on the mic here. That would not have been all that pretty on the air, although you caught a little of that. My apologies. Wasn't fast enough on my mic button. In a moment or two, we'll take a look at the agricultural news. Stay with us. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Mm-hmm.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In today's agricultural news, the new farm bill is basically done. Yesterday, the Senate and the House both passed a two-week extension of the present farm bill. And then late in the day, farm bill conferees went into a negotiating session that lasted 6 hours. But when it was all said and done, Senator Tom Harkin, chairman of the Senate House Conference Committee on the new farm bill, said the conference committee had agreed upon and approved all major elements of the new bill. Staff for the Senate and House Agriculture Committees and for conference continue to work through finalizing a few remaining issues and obtaining official budget scoring from the Congressional Budget Office. The completed legislation will have to be approved by both the Senate and House before being sent to the White House. In the commodity title, the bill includes a newly named producer income protection title that continues basic features of the 2002 bill, which farmers have thought worked well. And it gives producers a new option, beginning with the 2010 crop year, to choose to participate in a state-level revenue protection system. The new CSP, renamed Conservation Stewardship Program, provides incentives for adopting, improving, and maintaining sound conservation practices on land and agricultural production. The program will enroll just under 13 million acres each year, starting in 2009 and ending in 2017. And the new farm bill will accelerate commercialization of advanced biofuels like cellulosic ethanol by helping farmers produce biomass crops and by providing grants and loan guarantees to support these new biorefineries and by increasing bioenergy research to guarantee that we have a continuing flow of more productive and resource conservation technologies in the decades to come. And finally, the new bill includes the first ever livestock title to provide basic protection for producers in livestock and poultry markets. Among the highlights, the bill provides producers the ability to decline to be bound by an arbitration clause in a livestock or poultry contract, enables a producer to settle a dispute in the federal judicial district where he or she lives, rather than where the company headquarters is located, and provides the compromise for country of origin labeling of meat, fruits and vegetables, peanuts, pecans, and macadamia nuts. One issue that remains to be dealt with is payment limitations. The proposal that was put together by committee leadership this week is somewhat complicated, and the conference is waiting for the CBO score before taking it up. According to Harkin, the next conference meeting will not be until next Tuesday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Emerson Napsiger is up next. He's an extension agronomist from the University of Illinois. You know, corn farmers are hopeful the weather in May will be more cooperative than it was in April. Still, the soils across much of the Corn Belt are wet, and farmers remain anxious about the planting season.
I think it's still too early to do anything unusual, like going out and just making sure we don't get stuck and getting the corn crop planted.
Illinois agronomist Emerson Napsiger.
There may come a time to do that kind of thing, but I don't think that that's before middle to end of May, depending on where we are.
That'll seem mighty late for a lot of farmers. In the mean space, the warmer May temperatures will do much to dry fields out, and it very well could be that the corn crop gets planted in, well, not optimum, a timely manner, says the University of Illinois' Napsiger.
We have had very good yields with corn planted in the first half of May, but it's the chances of it generally diminish. The reason they diminish is has to do with the weather pattern during the season. If we get a crop planted late, but get very good uniformly distributed rainfall through the season, our chances for good yields are very good.
Unfortunately, Napsiger says what often happens is that the crop uses the early season to get ready to take on water during the summer months when use rates are very high for the crop. And the rains, well, they're sporadic. The average rainfall in Illinois is pretty uniform in June, July, and August at about 4 inches per month, but it certainly comes intermittently.
So all we're doing with delayed planting is really decreasing the chances that the crop will be well watered throughout the whole season. And so I guess one way to say it is we need things to be more perfect the later we plant in order to get the high yields that we would all like to get.
That is not a comforting thought to most, and certainly will only add to volatility already present in Chicago at the Board of Trade, where the price of corn is determined. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Bruce is the general manager of the Co-op 7 East Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Let's start by hearing how things are proceeding in your part of the world for planting corn.
Well, we have made some progress. We had a little heavier rain last week than several areas around us. I'm guessing we're somewhere in the 15% range planted here. Go 20 miles or so, 25 miles in either direction, I'd say you're going to jump up dramatically from there.
And dramatically would put it at
50% plus.
And producers, I suppose, have their attention narrowly fixed on that row and trying to put a corn plant into it.
On that row, or if they're watching, if they're on their computer, they're probably watching the weather map and not the Board of Trade quotes as much.
And they missed a contract high in corn this week in the night session, at least, didn't they?
And, you know, they talked about the volatility on the last segment, and the volatility is just tremendous on this. You sit there and you look at the screen, glance at it between doing projects or paperwork, and look up, and it's moving 3 to 5 cents one way or another. So just a pretty wild week as far as the flat price volatility. Basis-wise, we've seen a little bit of nearby improvement on corn and beans both. Logistical disruptions between looking like we might kick the strike back into effect in Argentina is helping nearby bean demand. The Mississippi is a mess with high water. I think last count there was at least 4 locks that are shut down with high water now. Tow restrictions there. You know, when you get high water, they don't want tow churning up and blowing a levee out, so you have restrictions on that. So it's making life logistically interesting.
Logistically interesting, offering any opportunities for producers? I know the logistics sometimes would push the market lower, but
in this case, I think it might help us a little bit. And, you know, since we're seeing shippers, which I always joke, you have 3 rivers in Illinois going to the Gulf, the Mississippi, the Illinois, and the old Illinois Central here. Since we're all feeding the same market, it can sometimes create some opportunities for us. And we need that because the CN basis has been lagging. The Decatur basis and the West Coast basis, the Southeast basis has all been a lot better. So it's time for a little catch-up.
And your bids for the day?
We are at 583 on nearby corn, 584 for new crop. Pretty flat there, 1276 and 1133 on the soybeans.
Bruce, thanks much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, and joins us on a Friday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the weekend and the upcoming week with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
It's National Truffles Day. Truffles were known by the ancient Samaritans, Greeks, and Romans, who served black and white truffles as appetizers and in salads. The earliest known surviving documents mentioning truffles in cooking are in 2 9th century manuscripts. By the way, a 3-pound truffle sold in 2007 for $330,000. It was unearthed near Pisa, Italy. On this day in agricultural history in 1883, S.G. Roberts, a member of the Dakota Territorial Council, convinced his fellow representatives to draft and pass a bill that would allow the northern portion of Dakota Territory to create an agricultural college. Today, it is known as North Dakota State University. In 1885, Good Housekeeping magazine began publication. Founded by Clark W. Bryan, the magazine was eventually purchased by Hearst Publishing in 1911. The magazine was a leader in advocating for the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act, which provided federal inspection of meat products and established labeling requirements on a number of drugs. The Meat Inspection Act authorized the Secretary of Agriculture to inspect and condemn any meat product found unfit for human consumption. By the way, the act was partly in response to Uptown Sinclair's The Jungle, a look at the Chicago meatpacking industry. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey, located right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Weather for the weekend looks wet?
Yeah, well, not too much more, I think. We could get some showers tomorrow as colder air pulls in behind the system, but I think that it really depends on where you are later today. It appears right now that the best chance for any kind of significant thunderstorm activity this afternoon will tend to be in northern Illinois and in southern Illinois as far as severe weather is concerned. And then here in the central part of the state, I think we will see probably some more showers and thunderstorms as the front comes through. But I think with the way things have gone, with the rain that moves through here early, stabilizing things, it'll be tough to kick up anything that's much in the way of severe. So our real window for wet weather is right now, maybe into tomorrow morning, maybe a few scattered showers tomorrow afternoon, but that should be about it.
What kind of rainfall precip have we had so far? How much?
There hasn't been a lot reported. Rainfall amounts, our estimates, we got anywhere from an inch to 2 inches in some parts of DeWitt, Macon, and Piatt counties, and also out in western Illinois. But in general, I think where most of the thunderstorms were, rainfall amounts were under an inch, probably around a half inch or so. We did get some reports of damage from out in Piatt County and Vermilion County from the storms this morning. But again, the rain was not widespread, and a significant portion of central and northern Illinois did not get anything too appreciable as far as amounts are concerned.
Are the conditions for next week looking better for planting at this time?
I think so in general. We do have a chance for some rain on Wednesday as another frontal system comes through, but it's not one of these powerhouse systems like we've been winding up here the last couple of weeks. So once that goes through, I think most of the week will be in pretty good shape. And if we can get some warm weather in here, which is going to be a little hard to do, but we will warm up. Things should start to dry out pretty well, and especially if we don't get a whole lot of rain this weekend.
You mentioned warm weather. It doesn't look like it's going to be particularly May-like over the next few days. Is that right?
Yeah, this weekend is going to be a little on the cool side. Not as cool as last weekend, of course, but especially tomorrow and early Sunday. But we'll start warming up as southerly winds kick back in, and it looks like temperatures will probably be near normal most of this week. Again, with that rain, maybe about Wednesday. And then beyond that, we don't see any real push of cold air in here. So I think temperatures probably tend to be near normal for most of next week.
And then if you could do something very quickly for me.
Sure.
Go back and take a look at the month of April and compare it to what the norms would be for me.
As far as temperature and precipitation, precipitation in Illinois was actually rather oddly distributed. We had heavy rain roughly an arc from Rockford out to western Illinois and then down to southern Illinois. And then there was a sort of a tongue of area from northeastern Illinois roughly to about the Decatur area and then back to the east that was actually below normal in terms of precipitation this month. So The state as a whole, you would say we are near to above normal, but there were quite a pattern in with the precipitation, and temperatures were cooler than normal in April.
Thanks much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason.